This week on the eBay for Business podcast.
I always recommend the free pickup service that the Postal Service offers us because it's a great opportunity right now for people to be able to stay at home and not have to put themselves at risk by being around other people at a post office.
Luckily, eBay's providing some support for sellers in that way for things like late scans. But we're still maybe seeing at most a half a day to a day delay from where we'd typically be.
In this specific category, what will the market bear and what are the accepted practices? So Terapeak is fantastic for that. I don't really know another tool to find that analysis.
I'm Alan.
And I'm Griff. And this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 87. Hello, Alan.
Hello, Griff. How are you?
I'm okay. You're sounding pretty good there.
Yes, I was able to get my hands on some better audio equipment.
I wonder where it came from.
Came from you. Thank you so much for dropping it down to me. I appreciate that. And hopefully it sounds better for our listeners. We want to make sure the audio quality is always good. But from what I can hear in my ear, we're sounding better than we have for the last couple of weeks.
Oh, that's great news. And it was a pleasure. I actually enjoyed the drive down to Santa Cruz. We can shelter in place, but we can also take a little joyride every now and then.
That's right.
What's going on down there in Santa Cruz with you? Are you all snug and sheltered or you getting antsy?
Snug and sheltered with my one-year-old. So he actually took his first steps this week, which was fantastic.
That's wonderful. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. He learns from the best, you know. He gets to see me walking around and taking after his dad walking. So yeah, all good. But, you know, that's one of the, there's a lot of negatives out there with COVID-19. But, you know, I feel pretty lucky that we got to be around him for that. Otherwise, if we were in the office or if he was in daycare, we could have easily missed out. So
next step is the car keys.
That's right. Yeah. Before I know it, I've been saving for that college fund already.
You're thinking ahead.
So, Griff, tell me, what's up for this week?
Well, Alan, last week we heard from eBay execs who talked about how they and their teams are managing to get work done while sheltering in place. And this week we'll visit with two sellers, Bill Ingersoll and Tim McDonald. And they'll share with us how they've adapted their shipping operations during the pandemic. And we'll get a readout about how their businesses on eBay are faring during this unusual time.
Excellent. So I've heard from a few sellers who are anxious about how to ship items in a timely manner while staying safe. So there are some misconceptions about what they can and cannot do if they are under a local shelter-in-place order.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've heard and read the same sort of misconceptions myself, so perhaps we can address some of them today during the episode. I spoke with one seller who said he was going to shut his business down, put it on vacation for a few months because he was under lockdown and he couldn't leave the house to get his packages to the mail carrier. Mm-hmm. So it's little misconceptions like that that we want to make sure people understand
that unless you're under a strict quarantine order by a doctor or local authority,
no one in the United States is actually locked down. I think they did that in Italy, and I think they did it in China during the worst of their surges in cases. In the United States, it's all shelter-in-place orders, but taking your packages for your business to the post office is considered an essential business, and you are allowed to do it.
Okay, good to know. Anything else then coming up for us this week, Griff?
Yeah, there's one other thing. So we have an interview with an eBay seller that we've had on the show before. Her name is Nanette Zupon, and she's going to talk about one of our favorite topics, and it's Terapeak. Now, Nanette has some valuable insights into how she uses Terapeak to research and price her one-of-a-kind and antique and collectible inventory. So you're going to want to give that a listen. But shall we just start the show?
Let's do it.
I believe it was Confucius who said, "May you live in interesting times." Well, guess what? We're living in interesting times. But for those of us who are sheltering in place, we still have to run our businesses. And those people who run businesses on eBay are no exception. I thought we'd talk to a few sellers today about one aspect of running a business in place, sheltered, and that's shipping. Because as we mentioned at the top of the hour, both Alan and I have heard some misconceptions from sellers about what they can and can't do. So I thought the best way to straighten that out was to talk directly to a seller. And right now we're talking to Tim McDonald. He's a seller on eBay. His user ID is McAdoo86. Let me spell that for you so you can look it up. M-C-A-D as in dog, O-O 86. M-C-A-D-O-O 86. Tim, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always great to hear your voice and get a chance to talk with you.
What's business like for you right now?
I must say that we've seen it starting to come back a little bit, not quite to the same levels that we've had the last couple of years, but a lot better than it was when this whole thing first started. It was almost like somebody flipped a switch and turned it off. So I'm glad to see that it's at least rebounding a little bit back to normal. But as a report I just heard yesterday, for all retailers are down about, I think it was either 7 or 8%.
Yes, as many as 10%.
Yeah, so it makes me feel pretty good that we're not the only ones experiencing that. And we're at least to be able to be close to where we were, which is enough to kind of pay our bills and pay our rent.
Yeah, keeping body and soul together. Tim, remind us what it is that you sell on eBay.
We have a wide variety, a lot of anti-aging products, women's handbags. We get into women's intimates. We have cleaning, crafting, shoes. And we also get into selling NFL products as well.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit about shipping, but I thought before we got there, I wanted to ask you a question I've asked a few sellers in the last month. Are you able to, or do you need to source product right now? And if so, is that presenting a challenge?
Yeah, it's our normal sources that we have in our local area. We obviously cannot go to because in Florida, we have been on a shutdown for non-essential businesses. And unfortunately for us who have to go buy things like that to support our businesses, we do not fall into that essential category. So we have not been able to go out and buy our normal type of products. But one nice thing that we've kind of done is going through our inventory, seeing maybe what didn't get listed, what maybe fell off our listings or something. And it's almost like going shopping without spending money. So that's one way that we're finding things. And the other way that we're doing it is really looking at online, you know, sources that we can buy stuff from either in bulk or just sale items and being able to have those shipped to us. And then we can go ahead and get those listed and sold. So it's a combination of those two things that kind of doing it. But I will definitely say that our normal procurement process has been severely impacted during this time.
Many sellers with whom I've spoken have said that this basically the same thing, but the level of anxiousness about the topic seems to be directly related to the size of what they call their death piles, or what some people call profit piles, which are all that inventory that they've been purchasing over the last months or several years, which never did get listed. And now this is an opportune time to list it. But that eventually can deplete. So we need to keep on top of our sources so that if it becomes difficult to go out and purchase things from our regular local businesses, that we can still find avenues of product that we can rely on in those cases.
Yes, and I do think that it's a great opportunity to remind ourselves, and I think just about everybody in business, not just eBay sellers, we need to be nimble at all times and always looking to how can we pivot, how can we adjust, how can we do things a little bit differently. For us, that's just been looking at more online suppliers and instead of physical suppliers.
Yeah.
But I do think it's a great lesson for everybody just to remember that, you know, we always should be looking at how we can continually innovate our business.
We were going to talk about shipping, and I wanted to get there specifically about shipping and how this particular unusual, it's overused, but it's true, unprecedented time has made any difference in the way that you ship or how your day-to-day operations go from a sale to getting it in that parcel into the carrier's hands. Have there been any major disruptions or alterations that you've had to make to your shipping operations in the last month?
You know, I won't say that we've had to make too many major ones because I think we were set up in a very good way, but I'll explain why that is. We have been getting the United States Postal Service to do home pickups from us for a couple years now. I will say it impacted us a little bit because a few months ago, our normal mail carrier retired. And Frank was an amazing guy, knew us very well. And now we don't have the opportunity to get to know our new mail carrier because we can't make physical contact with them. So it's kind of this essence of, even though our packages are out there, I can't just, if I hear them out there in the morning, open the door, introduce myself, say, how are you doing and everything. But this is one thing that it's a free service for anybody. And it's not available to all addresses, but if you just go to the United States Postal Service website, look it up, You can put in your address and they will tell you if it's available or not. The only thing you need to do is schedule it. I think it's the day before. Now, I schedule a year out in advance, so don't quote me on the day in advance deadline, but it'll tell you on the website what it is. And it's just been, I've shared this tip even before this whole pandemic started with in so many eBay seller groups I'm in, when people start complaining about lines at the post office, having to drive their, you know, traffic, whatever it is, that I always recommend the free pickup service that the Postal Service offers us, because it's a great resource for us. And as long as it's on the normal carrier and they do it to your address, it's a great opportunity right now for people to be able to stay at home and not have to put themselves at risk by being around other people at a post office.
Can you explain again to our audience exactly how they go about scheduling a pickup with somebody like USPS?
Yeah, it's really as simple as just going on their website. I don't know if you need to set up an account or not, but you just look for the schedule a pickup and you go to that page and enter your address. And it will actually tell you whether you can get it or not. And if not, I think they give you some other options. But for me, I get it, so I don't know what those options are. And then it's simply just kind of listing how many items you have, the overall weight. It asks, I think, priority, first class. Now, since I schedule out a year in advance, most people that heard that are like, well, how do you possibly know? Well, I just put an average of 10 packages, an average of 10 pounds. I think I do 2 priority and 8 first class, just because that's a typical mix of our products. But it varies. Some days we have a couple. Some days we have 3 times as many as that. But, you know, they know us, even though we don't really get to know our new mail carrier now. They all know us at our local postal branch and take care of us. And we actually have the direct number. We have a postal annex that delivers to us. So we have the direct number there. We know what time the manager leaves. And so if we don't have a pickup by that time, we can actually call and find out. And if you as long as you had it scheduled in the time, they will actually send somebody back out to pick it up from you. So you don't need to worry about running to the post office as long as you make that call directly to the postal service center that's delivering to your house.
And if I recall, there are 2 options for scheduling the pickup. It's one that is any time, and it's usually around the time that your carrier normally stops by your neighborhood, which is free. But if you want to schedule a specific hour of the day, that does incur a cost, correct?
That is correct. Now, I have never done the cost one. We've always taken advantage of the free one. I will say Frank used to do us our neighborhood blast on his route and always did the pickup of our packages in our porch at the very end. So we knew that we could get packages out as early as 1, sometimes up till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Our new mail carrier seems to get here about 10.
Oh, dear.
And he picks up first. So we are having to really get up, get our coffee, and get those packages packed from the orders that came in last night so we make sure they go out that day.
Now, that brings up an interesting question. Do you ever do same-day shipping?
We do, but we don't offer that. If somebody were to ask us, we could tell them. And if they contacted us like now, if they contacted us at noon and said, can you get this out today? We would probably say no.
Yeah.
We can get it out tomorrow morning. But if they contacted us at 6 o'clock in the morning and said, I really need this to go out today, can you do it? We would definitely say yes. And even if they don't ask us, we will still get orders out the same day as long as they're in time. I mean, my wife and I are both online pretty much, and especially now that we're both home all the time, if an order comes in, we are right over to pack it up, and it's almost like a race to get the label on it and get it out in front before he comes to pick up our packages.
You know, a spouse can actually do that. They can really compel you to get things out quick. The reason why I asked earlier about the same cutoff is you bring up an interesting situation where you have a major change in how your mail is picked up. And in this case, it was a personnel issue where if you have set your same day cutoff at, say, 4 o'clock, knowing that Frank always comes at 5, once Frank stops coming and someone new starts coming at 10, that means going in and having to edit all those listings if you're actually offering same day shipping with an hour cutoff.
Exactly. Yes. It's something that you really need to be aware of and pay attention to, because a lot of the times, like you said, there's 2 options. One where you can pay and have it at a specific time. The other is free just when they're on your route. And if they have changes, there's no guarantees of that they can't go and change that just because they got a sub work in that day.
Exactly.
So you always need to be careful.
And I know that if you schedule it an hour, I believe that it's a set charge of $25. So if you're doing a huge volume of packages, that may be something that you can absorb. But if you're just doing 5 to 10 or even 15 packages, that may make it a little prohibitive on the cost end for scheduling for the hour.
And for the most part, I think that for us, we've found our customers always think they get their products in a very timely manner. Most of our feedback has always been, thanks for the quick delivery, got it quicker than I expected. So we're actually very lucky in most cases, even with everything that's going on, that most of our packages are still going out and getting delivered either at or before the timeframe that eBay is showing them based upon the shipping that we have outlined. It's a great asset to be able to do that and just be able to get your packages out there and not have to change, not have to pay for this, just to be able to be very proficient at getting the orders out as soon as you get them and getting them out on the front porch. So, you know, you get them out in time.
I usually don't bring up competitor marketplace, but there is one known as Amazon. I don't know if you're paying attention to their marketplace at all, but over the course of the pandemic, they have prioritized what they call non-essential items. They still may be indicated, for example, as Prime, but they sometimes don't ship for a month. So I think this is a great opportunity for eBay sellers who aren't constrained by that sort of practice to be able to ship even in the middle of a pandemic within one day. I know that I tend now to look more on eBay than anywhere else when I'm buying because I know I can get it fast. And sometimes at a time like this, you like to get things quick. So kudos to you and all the other eBay sellers out there who ship the same day. Great job.
Thank you.
Hey, one of the things that came up in a discussion with some sellers, people who call into the show or send us email, was the misconception about what shelter in place means. And in fact, somebody, when I had recommended the pickup, says, well, you know, I can't meet this post office guy at the door and hand him my packages. That's too close. It's less than 6 feet away. I'm not social distancing. We may be putting each other at risk. Do you have to actually meet the post clerk or the driver who comes to pick up the packages, or can you leave them in a place where they can pick them up?
No, you don't have to make any contact. You don't even have to be home. I mean, although most of us are these days, but that's the beautiful thing about it. And one of the other things, Griff, that I forgot to mention when you do schedule it is they actually ask, where are you going to have your packages? So if you have a side garage area or behind the fence or behind the column or on your front porch, you actually put all that in there. And that's a direction for your postal carrier to know where the packages are. So there's absolutely no physical contact, no physical distance that you need to break in order to get your packages to the carrier. It's strictly tell them where you're going to have them, leave them there, and they will come take it. We usually get one of their little plastic buckets from them. So we fill that up in the morning, put it out there. They just take that and leave an empty bucket for us. And that's the only way we know they're there is the empty bucket is waiting for us on the porch. But
yes,
and
right.
they're really usually good about scanning them in as soon as they pick them up too. So we also get the notifications that the shipment's already been picked up and in process.
Tim, do you ever use a scan sheet when you leave all the parcels there for them?
I did try that early on, but as our volume increased and the fact that we do want to get these orders out as soon as they're coming in, I found that it wasn't kind of working with the system that we have. So I stopped using that. But I do know that can be a great option. And especially like around the holidays, sometimes if I do make a special run to the post office, like if people want stuff, I'll go to our airport post office because they're open 24/7. And in those cases, I generally do bring a scan sheet because I can just do them all at one time and they only need to scan one thing instead of the 50 items I have for them to ship.
Now, in this period that we're in with the pandemic, have you noticed in your own location there any changes to the way your local community is dealing with having to get their mail or send their mail or get their packages or send their packages?
Yeah, one of the things that I've loved seeing, you know, I mean, I guess we can look at the negative of what this is all doing to our economy and everything. But the one positive thing, I think, is all the great stories that we're hearing. And it's neighbors helping neighbors is the biggest thing. And I know, like, we use the Nextdoor app. It's very prevalent here in our neighborhood. And some people have Facebook groups, you know, so wherever it is that you're kind of communicating with your neighbors is I've actually seen people like that are afraid to go to the post office, but definitely need to get orders out. And they just post a note and somebody else will say, you know, hey, if you just message me, let me know where you need them picked up. I'll just leave them on the front porch. I'll come get them. I'll drop them off for you at the post office because I got to go there anyway. I think that the biggest thing that I can suggest is nobody's going to reach out and say, I can help you. But if you ask the question, you will probably find a lot of neighbors, even that you don't know, would be willing to help out.
There's a lot of negative to focus on and during a time like this, but it's true that there's also the positive. People at heart really do help each other out. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Absolutely.
Tim, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day, because I know you don't just sell on eBay. You actually have a lot of other little side interests. Can you talk a little bit about them? This is your chance to give yourself a plug.
Oh, sure. Well, I actually just quit my full-time job and was going to start doing professional speaking and hosting workshops. And just like everything else that I do in life, I had great timing with that.
Yes, I'd say.
And now there's no events going on. So in the meantime, I mean, I really talk a lot about, you know, how we build communities, how we build relationships through connecting with people, especially online. And so it's kind of an opportunity for me where I've actually hosted a couple online conferences and am helping co-produce another event next week. So doing a lot of online virtual conferences right now is really what I've enjoyed doing outside of selling on eBay.
Well, let me encourage you. You have a great voice, a great personality. I think you could do this online or in real events and make a serious go at it. So get out there and do it. I think you'd be great at this.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
We've been speaking with Tim McDonald. Tim sells on eBay under the user ID McAdoo. That's MCADOO86. Check him out. Continuing our conversation about running a business during this pretty difficult time for a lot of people out there, we're talking now with Bill Ingersoll. Bill's been on the program before. The name of his business is Bikes, Trikes, and Quads, which gives you a pretty good idea of what it is he sells. Bill, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
How are you feeling? How are you doing?
Pretty good. I mean, health-wise, I thought possibly I could have had this thing earlier in the year here, but I've been moving right along, feeling pretty good. Minus absorbing everything that's really going on in the world right now, but otherwise things are moving along as they usually do.
So we're talking about running a business, and I wanted to ask a few questions specifically about shipping, but before I start, just throw a question your way about sourcing. So right now, for a lot of people who sell on eBay, finding inventory in their regular locations is proven to be difficult, if not impossible. How is it working out for you with sourcing parts for these three-wheelers and other recreational vehicles that you sell?
Right now, I mean, being that I'm in New York, we have a lot of travel restrictions and things like that. So I can continue operating shipping with just one employee on hand, as long as we're not inviting customers in. But as far as like sourcing and stuff, creating a lot of issues, we typically source from private individuals. And right now, a lot of people are extremely nervous about this, especially here in New York. Nobody's really wanting to invite any extra people over, even for money. So it's not like they're too motivated to sell. There are some people that it doesn't seem to be affecting in that way. But I mean, I don't want to expose employees to it, aside from the restrictions on what we can do in that way anyway. So I've just been going back to what they call the death pile, the stuff you've had laying around and you haven't got the listing. On top of it, I have a drop shipping business through a distributor that's a partner of. So it works out that way too. But luckily, we had a sizable death pile here to go through.
How is business on the other end besides sourcing? What about sales? How's business working for you right now?
Actually, right now, I would describe it compared to the last 3 or 4 months. I would say that right now feels like Christmas plus tax time. I think my customer base in general, you know, you have a lot of lower class clientele and things like that. And I hate to say it, but they're just financially irresponsible from my perspective anyway, as far as what we could run into 6 months from now. And they just seem to be spending their tax returns. And, you know, I'm sure it'll go the same with stimulus. So like right now, I'm in a pretty good boom. I'm almost double what I would be in a good year this time of the year.
Are you taking advantage of this good time in the business to be socking away a little cash for the future?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely my priority right now, because I mean, I would say the economic impacts of, you know, what we're experiencing right now, they're kind of deferred. I think most people are looking at it right now as almost like a paid vacation. I know that's not going to be the same for everyone. There are some people that are suffering health-wise, emotionally, and financially. But as a whole, I would say from the buyer behavior I'm seeing, it's a lot of people bored at home, shopping almost in the same manner that someone out and hoarded things like toilet paper. People are trying to buy the things that they'd intended on buying with their tax returns, and they're almost in a rush to do it. We're seeing a good influx right now, and I'm trying to capitalize on that as much as possible.
What about operations? We wanted to talk about shipping in particular. Has the pandemic impacted or affected the way that you ship items? And if so, how?
To a degree, it has, just because, especially with USPS, we're seeing delays in transit comparative to what we'd see during the holidays. But aside from that, I haven't really seen much interruption. I mean, we're still getting our UPS pickups on time and things like that. Our new parts business, the distributor that we're partnered with, they're getting some congestion just because one of their main warehouses was here in New York and they had to shut that down entirely just because they're not allowed to have all those employees there. So it would have congested and crippled their outputs. We've had some slight delays there, but luckily eBay's providing some support for sellers in that way for things like late scans. But we're still maybe seeing at most a half a day to a day delay from where we would typically be.
And that's not too bad under the circumstances.
No, I would say not. I mean, the virus itself with the carriers still operating and things like that. Like I said, from what I've seen, it's more of what we would expect to see during the holiday season.
What about your local community? How involved are you in the community? And I know that New York has been especially hard hit by the pandemic. Have you noticed any changes, not just in business, but just in day-to-day activity in your location?
Yeah, I would say overall, the typical customer that I would have, we get customers who will want to come in and pick things up, and it's also allergy season here. So, I have seasonal allergies, and when everyone was just starting to get scared of it, and before they actually announced any shutdowns, I was starting to get a little bit of the seasonal allergies. So you would see, somebody would come in and hear you give a little cough or a sneeze or something like that, and they're immediately trying to get out of there as fast as possible. So, I mean, it's definitely affecting people in different ways. Some stuff actually surprises you. You could know someone for quite a while and they get scared of this thing and they're completely changing up their behavior. I'm in a rural area and everyone around me is a little more self-reliant than I would say in the more populated areas. So there's a little less fear because I think there's a little more distrust of what the government says, which if it was a little more dense, who knows how that could go if this thing spreads exactly like they say it does.
Yeah. Do you know of any COVID-19 cases in your area?
I think in my county and the neighboring counties, I think it's less than 50 per county right now, but really isn't that many people in either of these counties comparative to New York City or something like that. I would say maybe in two city blocks in Manhattan, you would have what we have in our entire county. When you say New York, people always think New York City, but upstate New York is more like West Virginia than New York City.
It's a very diverse state.
Yeah.
When your UPS guy comes by to pick up parcels, has that changed for you at all?
We have noticed that some drivers that aren't quite as familiar with us, I'll watch them on the surveillance system doing their pickup or any sort of delivery. And we've noticed that they're trying not to touch doorknobs, things like that. Mm-hmm. We have a drop box where packages are, we'll take deliveries. And we've noticed that, rather than the drivers typically walking them in and saying hello, they're just leaving them in the drop box and moving on.
Yeah.
But they're also under a little bit higher volume than they would typically be. So they're trying to be as efficient as possible as well.
Bill, anything else you want to add?
If I was going to say something to an eBay seller that maybe isn't having this go on in their area yet, or, hopefully they never have to if they haven't experienced it yet.
Yeah.
I would just say to be a little bit more leery of stocking the same levels of inventory because depending on your client base, it's affecting everyone a little bit differently. I would say the what we view as the middle class is going to be more impacted by this in the long term than the lower class or the upper class. Depending on your client base, I would maybe look to serving those two demographics more so than the middle class just because we haven't yet seen the long-term financial impacts of this. And to think things are going to carry on as they have been could be dangerous.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
But I think that the buying habits will just shift to different things and different demographics from where they were. I don't necessarily breed fear in anyone. I mean, we should all continue on as we have, and we all know our own businesses and how they work. But just from what I've seen of how people have began to react to this, there's going to be certain types of buyers that are going to pretty much disappear for a little while.
I want to thank you so much, Bill, for taking time out of your day to speak with us on the podcast.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Bill Ingersoll lives in Upper State, New York, and he works for his own company. It's called Bike Strikes and Quads, same name on eBay of their eBay store. Check them out.
Today we have eBay seller Nanette Zupan with us. Nanette is a happy user of Terapeak. Welcome, Nanette.
Thanks so much, Griff.
So how long have you been using Terapeak?
I really started using Terapeak in earnest after eBay opened in the summer of 2019. I knew about the product before then, but I wasn't persuaded. It took going to the event and learning about it in a presentation to really hook me in.
The product's been around for a long time, but you're a relatively new adoptee.
Right. I had seen it before. I had seen the classic website version actually at a vendor's business. They pulled up their site and showed me how they used it to spot prices and trends. And I thought it was very interesting. But since I'm really more of a vintage and one-off seller than a commodity type seller, I thought, well, that's great, but maybe it's not so much for me. The patient did change my mind.
How often do you use Terapeak today?
I would say I use it every time I list a product that I have any question about pricing or velocity on, which is probably every day I list products.
So let's remind our audience what it is that you sell. Can you give them an idea of the different product lines that you sell on eBay?
Yeah, I do antique and collectible items, but also retired, hard-to-find clothing, tableware items, anything that's kind of small, not electronic, fragile, could break in shipping. That's me.
And Terapeak's been a good source over the years for those kind of one-of-a-kind items as well.
Yes, I was surprised to find so, but it really provides a much better look back than just searching eBay sold.
What are some of the factors you use when you're researching on Terapeak? What are the things that you look for?
Well, I usually turn to Terapeak when I know what my item is. I don't need help identifying it, but I do need help figuring out what a current price is. And maybe also just some decisions about how am I going to present this product. I use Buy It Now almost all the time. Every once in a blue moon, I might auction, and there's some information there that might persuade me one way or another.
Can you give us an example of how you would use Terapeak, say, when you're sourcing a specific type of item?
Well, for sourcing, I think that's almost a third category. If I want to buy something that has a lot of pieces or involves a lot of money, I might go to Terapeak first, because one thing that Terapeak does, especially in these longer tail items, is it will aggregate the whole market and you can go back to a year. Oh. So say for a particular kind of crystal, and I know the pattern and I know the maker and I search on eBay and there are not very many items. Well, on Terapeak, I can see for the whole year how many items have actually sold in terms of both pieces and dollar amount. That's critical information, because why do you want to spend your limited time and money on a product that might only have literally eight sales, in 2019 versus try something else and maybe there are 200 sales. Mm.
Has Terapeak data ever saved you from making a purchase? I mean, using it to source on items and determining value is one thing, but has that information ever told you that, hey, this item is overpriced or this item is not trending or it's just not hot?
Yeah, I think that has happened to me. Sometimes I've looked in either the pricing or the velocity or both are so disappointing that I just decide to pass.
Has there ever been a time where you've used Terapeak to save you from vastly underselling an item where you didn't know the actual value, but Terapeak helped you understand what it was? So, you know, you hear this happen all the time where, and in fact, I've been the beneficiary of it occasionally as a buyer, where a seller hasn't done the research. They'll put an item up for a very low price because they don't know what it is, and it goes for way less than it should have. Has Terapeak helped you avoid that pitfall?
Well, even today, I bought a Simpsons action figure that's not very common. It has the unfortunate name of Lard Lad. And I looked, there was one active from a UK seller that was very high, not too many sold. And then I thought I'd price it one way, just looking at the sold. But I went to Terapeak and I started sorting by my longer time period and also by condition. And I thought I might have to knock mine down because it's been out of the box. It's a collectible item. People want them perfect. They don't want it ever removed from the box. So I kind of went back and forth using the various filters, and I discovered that really having it out of the box, it's rare enough, it was not going to knock the price down much. And I think I priced it higher than I would have if I just kind of tried to discount it myself based on my perception of the condition versus looking at the actual sales data over time.
What did you end up pricing it at? Just curious.
So I ended up pricing it at $90. And then the other thing that was really interesting to me is I'm trying to be a little bit more refined in deciding when to charge shipping, when the market will bear a little bit of its shipping cost, and when I should use free shipping. And Terapeak also breaks out how many of the sold listings have charged shipping and have had free shipping. And I think maybe 15% had free shipping. So that's not very high. And I looked at the average shipping. Anyway, I sort of charged a little shipping, not the full shipping cost. And I think that will make the whole price to me more. And I probably would have at least passed on that shipping revenue had I not looked at the graph and seen that almost all of these are selling with a small shipping cost.
So shipping isn't one of the factors that you use when researching on Terapeak to determine how to set a price and shipping.
Right. It's a big factor. I think a lot of times we just assume free shipping is the best route because it will maybe make your listing more visible. But I think instead of using like the sledgehammer approach that I've used for many years of saying everything fits into this free shipping box, I'm just looking and seeing in this specific category, what will the market bear and what are the accepted practices? So Terapeak is fantastic for that. I don't really know another tool to find that analysis.
Now, Nanette, considering all the recent enhancements that were announced for Terapeak, like including live listings and search results, I don't know if you were aware of that, but you probably are because you use the product. Are there any improvements or enhancements to Terapeak that you would like to see in a future release?
One thing I would love to see is to somehow get the functionality that's on Seller Hub and have that on my phone. Because when I want to make a sourcing decision, I have to take a few steps ahead, look at the photos, look at what I'm interested in buying, and do that research ahead of time. But sometimes things come up on the fly. And if I had Terapeak, especially the data about how big was the last year worth of sales of this item, that is really relevant to me about whether to buy the item or not.
So having all, not just Terapeak, but all of the Seller Hub data available to you for your past listings.
Well, that would be ideal. I'm just for Terapeak via Seller Hub, but I'll take the whole thing if that's available.
Okay, well, this was your chance to let the product team know because they listen to the podcast. So that's why I asked that question.
Yeah, that would be great. I mean, I'd use that feature every day.
So would I. Nanette, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy listing and researching day to talk to us about Terapeak here on the podcast. Before we go, do you want to give the audience your user ID?
My user ID is American Artifacts with no space in between.
Check it out. Nanette always has some pretty cool stuff up there. American Artifacts. Nanette, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Griff.
The eBay for Business podcast wants you. If you want to join the fun here on an upcoming episode, give us a call on 888-723-4630. So maybe you have a question, or maybe you have a comment, or maybe, just maybe, you might like to share an eBay story or even your expertise on a specific selling topic.
Yeah, and if you do, then call us any time of the day, any day of the week, because we need you to be on the show. 888-723-4630. Leave your question or comment or request to be on our show as an eBay seller guest, and we just might put you on the air. Could be guest of the day.
Guest of the day. And if you prefer not to have your voice heard on the podcast for some reason, you can always contact us via email at podcast@ebay.com. That special email address is podcast@ebay.com. Send us an email and we may just read your question on the air.
And if you want to connect with other sellers like yourself, please do consider the eBay community. Now, I know we talk about this a lot, but it's worth it.
There are tens of thousands of sellers reading and posting to one of our community forums every single day, and you couldn't meet a more interesting bunch of people anywhere else on earth. Just visit ebay.com/community and start navigating around there.
Now, isn't that where we go to access our weekly chat with the eBay staff, Alan?
Oh, very good question, Griff. That is correct. I can confirm you're right. So every Wednesday from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific, you can join eBay staff for a real-time live Q&A on the community boards. You can have your questions answered in real time by a customer service agent, and it's a lot of fun. People come in to share their tips, tricks, and ask questions. So feel free to stop by every Wednesday, 1 to 2 Pacific, and you can get to that at ebay.com/community chat.
You know, that community chat has been going on in some way, shape, or form, at least for the last 10 years, with maybe a kind of little break, because I know we started it back in 2010, and it's changed format over the years. So it's now become a traditional community, a historical traditional thing on the eBay community, the Q&A chat.
It's going to be the protected, government protected.
It's going to get a trademark and a historic recognition as a landmark.
Oh,
well,
wow.
Anyway.
You're making me feel old.
It's not difficult these days.
Yeah.
So join us next week for another brand new edition of the eBay for Business podcast. We certainly hope that you learned something from our podcast and that you're enjoying them. Let us know again, 888-723-4630 or podcast@ebay.com. And if you're on our podcast page on the community, then you can take a survey there. There's a link. We'd love to hear what you think of the show. In the meantime, we want to thank our guest this week.
Yeah, thanks again to our guests this week, eBay sellers Tim MacDonald, Bill Ingersoll, and Nanette Zupon.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.